Today's daf in Masechet Beitzah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Vav. Omar Rav, the question is how this relates to the dinim of a deceased who requires kvura. What is the din of a mace that not necessarily died today, as we'll see? A mace that was just released for burial, and it's Yontif. So we can't bury him during Yontif. Now it's Yontif Sheni. Can we bury a mace on Yontif Sheni, whether it's Yontif Sheni Shel Golias or Yontif Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah? What would be the din? So we're talking about over here the Yontif Sheni Shel Golias. Said Rava that if there's a deceased that requires kvura, Yontav Rishon, so if there's a danger that the body will decay if it's on Yontav Rishon, then you should have Goyim do the Kfura, because the mitzvah of Kfura Sameis is not Deicha Yontav. So therefore, what can we do? You're going to be doing an Isser Malacha D'Oraisa if you're digging, and that's a din of Binyan, but because of the fact that there's an issue of Kavod Hameis, Kovet Abrias is Deicha and Nisid Rabbanon of Abir la Akum, and because of that, we'll tell the Akum to do it. Fine. All right, so he should do the actual digging of the grave. It's a machlokas l'maisa whether he should actually do the kvura or not. Does it mean that the Jews, Chevra Kaddish, is not allowed to even move the mace, even though that's only a question of mukta? The Mishnah Berurah brings for sure to cover the mace over with the dirt that was taken out. That for sure the Goyim should do, because that would be a getter of binyan. So this is true not only on the 2 days of Yom Tov in the Golos, but afilu b'shnei yom tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. Even when it comes to the Rosh Hashanah issue, we're going to be doicha the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which we know is not really Rosh Hashanah, because of the Kavanah mace. If it's a mace, as I may skip mace, Yontif Sheni, though, we're going to be Deicha Yontif Sheni, and Jews should do the burial even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But this is not true when it comes to a Beitza. As we just saw, when it comes to a Beitza, we're going to be Machmir that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are actually one long day. Whereas the Nardai say, forget about this Beitza jazz, even today, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, this is the exact opposite approach of what we've been talking until now, that even today, everybody ends up being machmer. The contrary, even a beitza is mutter on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, because why do you want to aser a beitza on the second day? You want to be asering it because you're considering Rosh Hashanah to be one long day, right? Okay, but let's talk about this seriously. I mean, what that would mean is that we're always taking into consideration the question of whether the first day of Rosh Hashanah was actually the last day of Elul, and the second day is the real day, and therefore we're going to view it as a takana that gives us 2 days even for Rosh Hashanah. I mean, that's absurd. I'll tell you why it's absurd. Because you're worried Dilmam Abrilay La'elo. I can tell you why it's absurd. Because it ain't ever happened. That's why it's absurd. Remember, your whole logic was that being as this takana went into effect, so because of that, whenever we kept it, we have to keep it as a Yuma Tava Arichta, correct? But since Amar Rav Chinana Bar Kahana Amar Rav, that miyamot Ezra ve'elach lo matzino el al me'ubar. It never happened ever in history, except that one time that the Adam came late. And that was the problem that we had that time. And so because of that, we made that takana, but it never actually was kept because it never happened. It simply never happened. There never was an Elam Uber. The Adam always came on time. And there never was a time that we kept two Yomim Tovim in Eretz Yisrael, ever, okay? So if that's the case, you can't make me an argument that having once put this takana into effect, that therefore it's now defining a Kedusha Arichta. The entire takana simply fell apart because it never actually happened. And since it never actually happened, it should not be an issue at all. Now, even though Rav is the one who's saying this, and Rav is the one who says that Rav Shmuel holds it's usur, so then they would be saying that in Chutz La'aretz maybe we would keep it that way. Fine, but I don't believe that there's such a thing as Kedusha Aricha. Not in Eretz Yisrael, for sure. Omar Mar Zutra, the truth is that Lo Amram Ela Dishtai. You have to know what this is not talking about a mace that died today. We're talking about over here that if this mace had died earlier, was just released by the authorities of Kvura on the second day of Yontif, that then Jews should be able to do the Kvura. That's because of the concern for the Kovet HaMace. But if the mace actually just died today, and lo ishtahi, so then you can wait. So mashinalei, then we'll wait until after Yontif. So the idea would be that there's no inyan to be doicha if the Kovet HaMace is not involved. The question is whether this is true also about Yontif Rishon, or whether we still are doicha amir la'akum in terms of the question if the mace died on the first day of Yontif. Okay, that's a machlokas lahalacha. In any event, this Tosis brings over here, and this is very nogea, because the question would be, what about Bizman HaZeh? Because now Rav Ashi says, makes absolutely no difference, and we are never going to delay the burial on Yontif Sheni, because Yontif Sheni Legabe Meit Kachol Shavu Rabban. Afilo Lamegas Le Glima, Lamegas Le As. So the point over here is, the Rabbanan never asered Yom Tov Sheni when it came to the Kovet HaMeis. And therefore, to be Mechalo Yom Tov Sheni, even in things that are certainly not essential, I mean, you want to cut Hadassim, to put the Hadassim around the Mita of the Meis for a good smell and so on, it's certainly not Ma'akev. You can even do that. You can even make the Tachrichen for the Meis. You can cut, you can sew, anything that you want. What do you mean? I mean, I understand that direct Kovet HaMeis, but yes, because there is no Yontif Sheni when it comes to a Meis. Any of the Tzrochim of the Yontif Sheni are mutter. Now, says Ravina, that no longer applies. Because nowadays we've got these Chavre, remember, were this terrible, very aggressive group of Persian religion beliefs. And they were like the Ayatollahs, and they used to make the Jews work for them on Yontif, and the only time that they would let up was where we showed them that, you know, we're so machmir, we don't do anything for ourselves, we won't answer the telephone, we don't do nothing. So they understood that they can't force us to work. But if now they would see us burying a mace on Yontif Sheni, then they would say, oh, so this is not really a holy day for you. And because of that, they would force us to work on Yontif Sheni. So now Chayshino were worried not to do that kind of thing at all. And it once, so now, as I mentioned to you, Tosis brings over here that halacha lemaisa, the Rabbeinu Tam asered doing anything for a mace on Yontif Sheni, because he said that nowadays that people are not b'nei Torah, so if they see us being mezalzel in Yontif like this, they're going to end up being mevato Yontif Sheni. And therefore, nowadays, you have to treat Yontif Sheni as if it's Yontif, even the Gabi Amaze. Barnea's not here. He's the only one that was there. We had this Shaila, actually, halacha lemaisa, back in California. And Reb Meisha had actually paskened that David, you remember Rabbi Lazar's father died. Were you there that that Yontif? It was like the 1976. You were there. So he wanted to travel to be able to go to Levaya. He wanted to travel on Yontif Sheni. And because Reb Moshe Paskind, like the Rabbi Natan Bisman Hazeh, that people are mezalzin, you can't do anything that openly could cause a zilzul of Yontif. He wasn't able to be at his father's funeral, but that was this exact Gemara. So Ravina Aviyasif Kamei de Ravashi, it's a Bishnei Yomim Tevish Rosh Hashanah. And Ravina sees that Ravashi is looking really down and out on Rosh Hashanah. And this was a Rosh Hashanah that was on Thursday and Friday. So Ravina asks Ravashi, why is Rebbe so down? It's Rosh Hashanah. Omar Lei de lo otiti Erev Tavshilin. I'm such an idiot. I forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin. And because of that, I'm not going to be able to have the food for Shabbos. Omar Lei, so Ravina said to him, so you can make an Erev Tavshilin based on the condition, you know, the famous condition. If today is really Yontev, so then what I'm doing now has no meaning. If today is not really Yontev, so then this should be an Erev Tavshilin for tomorrow's Yontev, and then do the same thing vice versa. Then everything would be okay, because then the next day would be Chol if it was vice versa. Omar Lei, because didn't Rava say a person can be Matne? Miniach Adam Eruvet Tavshilin Yontev L'Chavera. And we had exactly this case. So you do it on Thursday. If today is really Yontev, and then the next day on Friday, then Friday is a weekday. So then I don't need an Erev, and then everything is fine. You just make a tonight. On my laser, Ravashi said to him, yeah, but Rava was talking about not Rosh Hashanah. He was talking about on 2 days of Yontev Sheni of Golias that will come out before a Shabbos. Yes, Eimad Amar Rava Shnei Yomim Shel Golias, because they are two Kedushas. But B'Shnei Yomim Shel Rosh Hashanah Mi'omar, he never said that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah should be viewed as two separate days. You can make a Tanai. Over there, it was a long Kedusha. But said Ravina, didn't Nardoi say that that whole thing, even a Beitza is Muteret, and that there's no such thing as the Shnei Yomim Tov and Rosh Hashanah because of the fact that Elul was never Me'ubar? Omar Lei, Rav Mordechai, so Rav Mordechai was a friend of Ravina, told Ravina, listen, this is not a taina on Ravashi, because Beferish Omar Limar, you should know Rebbe, they were both Talmidim and Ravashi, Rav Mordechai and Ravina. Beferish, my Rebbe, Ravashi, told me that he absolutely doesn't hold of the Nardai, Lo Sarvel of the Nardai. And therefore, in Lishita, so he's right. There's absolutely nothing that you're going to be able to do in order to have your Erev Tavshilin. So that's not a solution. Can I go on just like a little bit more so we can get this stuff? It's like another 2 minutes. Okay, Itmar. Now we have another case. Legabe, we had these cases about the laid egg. What about a hatched chick? So how do we view that, Legabe, the Shnei Yomi? An Efroach is hatched on Yontif. So Rav says it's Osir, and Shmuel Vitema Reb Yochanan says that it's Mutter. Why is it Osir? So Rav holds it's Osir because of maybe it's a machlokas, whether this is even true on Libet Rabbi Shimon, or whether it's true because we're being machmer on Libet Rabbi Yudah when it comes. But even in this case, perhaps, it's considered to be mukta. Why is it mukta? Because we put it aside to be careful that it shouldn't be cracked, that doesn't want to lose the hatchlings. So it could be a getter of mukta, mamachlos, chisar, and kiss, even according to Rabbi Shimon, where you bedafker mekatzayat. But it's muksa aliba de Rebbe Yehuda. Whereas Shmuel, Vitem Rebbe Yochanan, says it's mutter. And there's no problem of muksa. You know why? Because in becoming hatched, it now becomes kosher for shchita. Once it becomes kosher for shechita, whereas before it was considered to be osur because of sheretz hashoretz, the heter of shechita gives it a completely new din. If it's matir atzmo b'shechita, then it's matir atzmo for muktzah as well. It's now a completely new kind of thing. If it's allowing you to take off the isur sheretz, it's allowing you to take off the isur muktzah. And Amri le Rav Kahana, well, why is it any different than an egel that was born on Yantiv? An egel that's born on Yantiv, you are allowed, assuming it was called a lo chadashav, you are allowed to shecht it. And how come that's not considered to be muktzah, since before it wasn't even born, it should be totally also because of nolad? Says Rav, what do you mean also because of nolad? You could have shechted its mother. And if you shecht the mother that has an embryo in it, then the fetus becomes kosher. That's called the ben bekua. And that allows you to eat both the mother and whatever is behema ba behema. It allows you to eat the embryo as well. So it was always mukhan for eating. It was mukhan agav imo b'shchita. So you could have eaten it because of its mother. So Rav Kahana Rav Asa said, oh yeah? And what if the mother was a trefa? What then? So then you could not have been matir it through the Shechita Se'eim, because the Shechita Se'eim is not kosher. So ma bein zela igel shenolad min ha-trefa? You should say that. Before, while it was in its mother, we couldn't have been matir it b'achila b'Shechita Se'eim. And now, we should say the same din as the Ephraach should apply to it. And yet you're saying, because we know that the halach is that you can shecht it, so why is that shasik rav? Now that, that shut rav up. And on my Ravi Tamer Yosef, well, why did it shut him up? There's a simple answer. Even if the mother was a trefa, it still, you could have shechted the mother, and you could have, I mean, the mother, what would you be doing that for? To feed it for dog food, you know? So, I mean, it was roy to be ochel beim is not mukta. So then you would have given the fetus also to the dogs. So, ho mukhan agavim aleklovim. So what was so crazy about saying that it's not mukta? Rav, this stymied Rav, I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? Amalei Abaya, no, it's not an obvious, it's wrong. Because something which is mukhan la'adam is not considered to be mukhan leklovim, because that was true about the Mishnah, about mechatchinat hadluin lifnei habehima, veta nevela lifnei haklovim, and Rabbi Yehuda says, im lo haita nevela me'erev Shabbat asur lafi she'ena muna mukhan. So since the nevela was not ready for being used for animal food when it was alive, so because of that, it's considered not to be mukhan for the Adam. So then, if that's true, certainly you're not going to say that Mukhan Leklovim should be considered Mukhan Le'Adam, and since I could use it for dog food, I should be able to use it for human food when it's born on the next day. That's crazy. Oh, my life. It's not crazy at all. I got news for you. Mukhan Le'Adam is indeed not Mukhan Leklovim, because what a person finds suitable, he's going to continue to want to use. He's not going to throw it to the dogs. But mukhan leklovim is for sure mukhan la'adam in the end, because a human being figures that whatever, if there's anything that I'm going to be able to use, if in the end it's born, I certainly want to be able to use it. And therefore, it would be mukhan la'adam. And so it is a very good point. And therefore, since it was mukhan leklovim, it would indeed be roy for achila on the next day. So on the one hand, Rav said that an egel that is born on Yantav is mut, but a chick that is hatched on Yantav is us. So we did not have really any way to understand that yesterday, because we were left off with the question of why is Rav mechalek between an egel shenolad b'yantav and an egel shenolad ben atrefa. And the case of the Eligal Shinoda ben Atrefa should be the same as the Ephraach, because it wasn't Roy Agav Imo. And that shut Rav up. And the last thing that we had yesterday was that Lechora, it shouldn't have shut Rav up, because a Mukhan Le'Adam is not Mukhan Le'Klovim, but a Mukhan Le'Klovim is Mukhan Le'Adam. So That we left. But in any event, there was nothing really the way we came out. We came out even better than Rav in understanding Rav, in the sense that Rav didn't give that answer. We gave that answer. Okay, now Lamaise, it turns out that we have a Braita like both of these Shitas, and the Braita actually explains the logic. So Tanya Kavasi to Rav. On the one hand, we have a Braita that says, like Rav, that the Efroach is usher while the Egel is butter. And Tani Kavasi de Shmuel, or some say Rabbi Yochanan, which is that both of them are mutter. Let's take the first braita first. Tani Kavasi de Rav, Egel Shinolad Beyomtov mutter. However, an Efroach Shinolad Beyomtov is also, and the braita explains itself. What the heck? What's the difference between them? Big difference. The Egel is Mukhan Agav Imo Bishchita, since you could have shechted the mother. So Memela, that would have been Matir, the Uber that was in the mother anyway, as a Ben Bekuah. And therefore was always Muchat. Masha Enkein, this chick was not there Bechlal. Ze en a Muchat, Agavimo, in its current state, there was no way of us to get the chick. And there was, it's completely and totally not there. Tanik Abasi de Shmuel, Masha Enkein, the other prices says, the Chiddush, that Shmuel or some say, Rabbi Yochanan said, namely, Ego Shinola Biyamtav is Mutter, and so is an Afrod Shinola Biyamtav Mutter. And what would be the logic? Well, the one about the ego is no problem because they're muchanaga v'imo. However, with the case of the newly hatched chick, there we have to come onto this beautiful svara that we said yesterday. Ze matir atzmo b'shchita. So it doesn't become mukta because it's considered to be a new entity which is b'chadish its own heter through shchita that wasn't shayach before. Now it's a chicken. It's a chick that's hatched. Because of that, it's not considered to be usher because what was there before. The new heter of shchita makes it something that is now mut. Tana Rabbanan. Here, it turns out that there's another shchita, which we really had mentioned before, that bechlal, a chick is usher when it hatches. And that is that Ephraach, here which we say according to Rav and Ephraach, should know that Beyontim is usher. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, what does that do with Yontim? Even if a chick hatched anytime, you're not allowed to eat it. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov aber af b'chol asur. Why? Because it's not considered to be a chicken yet. It's considered to be a sheretz. V'fishalo niftechu enav. And where do you get that from? Well, take a look at the braisa. You'll see this braisa is basically going, I got leave it to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And the Braita says, come on, also, Adetanya, who is this following Braita like? And when it says that there are l'chol ha-sheretz, ha-shoretz ala-oretz, so that you have to be anything which is shoretz. What is that adding? L'chol ha-sheretz, ha-shoretz ala-oretz, that wasn't mentioned. That's coming l'rabot, efrochim shalot niftechoy nehem. It's even chicks, but they're hatched, but they are not yet fully active organisms. So basically, they're just lying there on the ground like a sheretz. That's included in the din of sheretz. Who's that going like? That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says that afilu b'chol, you are not allowed to have to eat these things because they're not yet chickens. Omer Avuna, what Rav said, now here, so remember what we've done here. It's just an incredible, remarkable, I mean, it's almost like a symphony, this Pesachet, in which things start off easy in terms of eggs, you know, and we end up having all of these possibilities. And that opens up the sugya of muktzah and the sugya of neilad and the sugya of hachana and the extensions of how the gzeras are made and what type of things we can be gozer, what type of things we cannot be gozer. And then we started variations on the theme, which became not just the difference between Shabbos and Yontav at the beginning, but became the interrelationship of Shabbos and Yontav, which we started off with Achonah D'Rabbah, obviously, but then became the question of what about if you have 2 days, one day Shabbos and one day Yontav, and the Beitzah was Nolda on the first of the days, which led us into the whole question of the Yuma Arichta and the issues of Havdalah between 2 days, and that led us into what about the 2 days of Yontav of Goliath, which led us into all discussion of the calendars and the difference of the Minhag Lagabe Yontav and the a question of Rosh Hashanah, then the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and how it is that a minhag begins, or how it is that a takana begins, and when it is that a takana is batal, and when it's batal me'elav, and when you need another minyan la'atirei, and the difference between the specific minyan that made the yisur l'chatchila and then the minyan that comes to be mevatal. Incredible issues that led us into a deeper understanding of all of the things that created the concept of the kedusha of mikroi kodesh. And then we started getting into the differences between the egg, what is noilat from the egg, and the difference between the mammal and the chicken in terms of the inyanim of noilat, which we just started now with this machlokas of Rab and Shmuel V'Tamer of Yochanan. And now we have this very strange discussion about an egg that is like, it is not clear bichlal what it's talking about. And it turns out that quite amazingly, statements about eggs and when they're completed could have a lot of different applications. We think, you know, like who the heck talks about eggs and when they're completed? They're completed the day before. Now it turns out that there's multiple applications of this issue, which is really unbelievable. So Rav came up with this weird statement that without explaining what it refers to, and that is quoted here by Ravuna, that a beitza im yetziata nigmara. You know when an egg is completed? An egg is completed when it actually is laid. So it's as it comes out of its mother, that's the completion of the egg. It's like, well, what is that supposed to mean? Lagabe, what? Are you telling me? I mean, you're telling me that it is now, I hereby dub the egg. Okay, so why do I need to dub anything an egg? So the first thing that you think about is, well, I hereby dub the egg means that I can cook you in milk. Because if you weren't an egg, then you'd be meat. And if you were meat, I couldn't get you. So then that would mean that prior to the eggs actually being laid, so in other words, if I find that egg in the chicken, then I cannot cook that egg with meat. With milk, because now it's considered to be meat, right? That's what it sounds like. So if that's what he's talking about, ilema initiata nidmara, that it's dubbed it to be an egg, which means then and only then is it mutter to eat it with milk. So then what would that imply? That if I find an egg be me'eima, it would be usur to eat it with milk. But who said that? Vatanya says the opposite. It says, ha-shochet, the brayta says, if you shecht a tarnagolet, and you find in it beitzim gemurot. So you find this question whether there actually is the word gemurot. Tosfos says, there's kirsos that don't have gemurot, but explain the difference in a moment. You are allowed to eat those eggs with milk, even though they were never laid, which means that Rav would be saying something connected to Brisa, obviously. So that couldn't have been what he meant. Now, in terms of the actual issue, Rashi understands that what this means is that there is only a yolk, which is what you normally will find inside when, if you check the chicken, you'll find just these yolks that are formed. However, if the egg formation is advanced, so then you can have the membrane without a hard shell, and you can have the white of the egg starting to form around the yolk. So you have albumin there with the actual egg. Now, Rashi says over here, that what we're talking about is only the yolk, and you can eat the yolk. You can eat the yolk with milk. Lamaisa, we don't paskin like that Rashi. It has to have, even if it doesn't have a shell, it has to have a membrane with albumin in the membrane. Okay, in any event, that can't be what Rav was saying. So what was Rav saying when he says that an egg is called an egg only when it's laid? So maybe the point is that in yitziata nigmara muteret la'ochla b'yom tov, that if it was laid before Yom Tov, that is what allows you to eat it on Yom Tov. But that would mean that what? That if you shech a chicken and you find an egg in the chicken on Yom Tov, so then you can't eat it on Yom Tov. That's definitely not true. Because Vatanya, like the Braisa says, you shecht it, you're allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. Why shouldn't you be allowed to eat it on Yom Tov? You see, it's not that it's given a shame over there of an egg. you would have been able to eat it at any point that you find it inside the chicken. So if you find it in the chicken, it's just like, what was roid to be eaten the whole time? What's a shaykh to talk about achana de rabba or mutz? There's nothing to talk about. I don't need any further achana to be able to eat it when it's in the chicken. Whatever I find, I find. V'chi tema, so maybe you'll tell me, well, but that's not true. Where does it say it in the Mishnah? This is how Rashi understands it. Since it doesn't say such a thing in any Mishnah, so we can assume that the Braita is Mishub Beshet, because I mean, Rebbe Lo Shana, Rebbe Chiya Minayin, Honami Tanin, it's not true. It's implied in a Mishnah, because it says, which means that the Omachlok is a Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is only referring to an egg that was actually laid on Yantar. But it seems pretty clear that if it would have been in the Eiman, you found it in the Tarnagolet that you shechted, and it would definitely be mut. V'chi tema, so you'll say, okay, so maybe Beit Hillel would actually have asserted it be Eiman, and therefore Rav was right. And the only reason it said Beit Shenolda Beyamta was to tell me that according to Beit Shammai, it's mutter, even if it was Nolda, and therefore you think maybe now it's considered to be Nailad. So then Elolatanya Shochet Tanzanagara to Motsiba Beitzim Gmurot or Mutarot Lochla Beyamta. Who said that? Lo Beit Shammai v'lo Beit Hillel. So then nobody said it. Now, as Tosis points out, Rashi's whole approach seems ridiculous, because if you're trying to tell me that the Braita is Mishubeshet because it's telling me something that wasn't said in the Mishnah, then why are we bringing a Raya from the Braisa that it can't be true what we just said in the Mishnah? It doesn't make any sense. So because of that, Tosfos says just the opposite. The meaning is, maybe you'll tell me that it's telling me additional information in the Braisa, which is not in the Mishnah, which is the totally opposite approach. Okay, but we'll just stick with this. We're trying to complete this so we can do an extra daf, Lechvod Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, that's not what Rav meant either. Okay, so what did Rav mean when he said the egg is dubbed to be an egg only when it comes out completely? Maybe the pshat is like this. Eggs are actually factories for making little chicks, right? So when I say I hereby dub the egg, it means now you can be hatched, but you couldn't be hatched before. So that would imply that if I take a fully formed egg out of a chicken that was never laid, then it won't hatch. And I only dub the ovum if you're actually laid, but otherwise not. That's what it means. So but that must be what Rav meant to tell me, which has nothing to do with anything that we're talking about over here. I mean, who cares? We're not interested in breeding chicks. We're interested in eating eggs on Yantav. True, this statement had nothing to do with the dinim of Yantav. We're just pointing out that the question of the gemar of a beitza has to do with its fertility. So im yitziata nigmara means umigadelat efrochim. All Rav is saying that an egg can only hatch a chick if it was laid. But if you find the egg in the chick, then in the chicken, then it will not hatch a chick. Okay. So bime e'ima enumigadelat efrochim. I mean, this is a very interesting scientific question, but who cares? What do you mean, who cares? L'may nafka mina l'mecha chomemkar. Suppose somebody makes a deal with an egg supplier and he insists on having laid eggs. And this guy supplies him with eggs that he's found in his chicken factory, which he finds inside of the chicken. It's a completely formed egg. The guy doesn't know the difference. He puts a stamp on it, you know, so it looks like it was a regular egg. And it never is hatching what he wanted. He can't get chicks out of it. So then he gets right to his money back. Because Kehagida Amalo, there was a guy who said to the wholesaler, I'm looking for Bey de Pachya. Bey de Pachya means an egg that comes from a chicken that's going, when it cackles as it lays the egg. So it's got to be cackling. It's the same lesson that we find about Po'a, which is Pua, who cackles when the baby is born, is the same Lashon Rashi says. So it's basically an Aramaic. So I want a pua hen. And instead, he sold him beitzim that he found in chickens. And this guy sued him. And he comes to Rabbi and he said, I want my money back.
So Rav Ami said, yes, it's a mekach tos, and you have to give him his money back. So I said, well, obviously, I mean, if I understand, if a guy defines what it is that he wants in a contract, and you give him something else, why do you need to tell me it's a mekach tos for hadar? So pshita, isn't it obvious? No, because Madatema, I would have thought that the truth is this guy doesn't want to hatch chicks. He likes to eat dafka eggs that were laid. So Madatema lachila kaboyle, and the only reason that he insisted on pachya is because they are tsrivim. They're like a little sharper. They're fully matured eggs. Okay, who cares? But he specified, a guy specified in a contract. Why can't he get his money back? No, I'll tell you why. The nafka mina would be like this. If it didn't really make that level of a difference, he would be entitled to get the difference in value back, the difference between beitzim that are tsrivim. So let's say 10%, he gets 10% back, but he wouldn't have the right to say, I want all my money back. You supplied me with garbage. I tried hatching and they didn't hatch. You didn't say you needed for hatching. No, kamash malan. That the difference between lamed for the beni beni and to get all your money back, kamash malan, Rabami, that's why Rabami Paskin, that he gets a complete refund.